You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
Billy Graham once said, "Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a target to shoot at, give them a goal to work toward, give them a pattern that they can see clearly, and you will give them something that gold and silver cannot buy." It is important for us. Kids are going to imitate you. Now, and the thing about it is that everything that's wrong in you, they're going to multiply it when they imitate you. But you don't, I mean, it's so amazing. I can see some kids walking down the church aisle, and I know who their parent is. Because they walk just like their daddy walk, or they walk like their mama, or they strut like... Your kids imitate you in ways that you don't even see, and it's amazing. Dorothy Law Note once wrote down these thoughts: "If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, she learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, she learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, she learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, she learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, she learns to like herself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world." You know, I always say that I take my daughters out. I don't say this, I do this. I take my daughters out on dates, and I say I do that because I want them to understand the kind of man they need to marry. If I don't show them, then they're going to marry somebody in the world. Guys, you need to spend time with your daughters, because if you don't, somebody in the world will. That is so important. Mom, it's important that Lauren sets an example of what a godly wife should be like, because that's what they're going to be like when they're married. But if mom is, you know, going off crazy, throwing skillets and hot grease like Oma did, hot chitlins and grits on somebody, then that's what they're going to do. So it's so important. What you do really is the best kind of parenting you can give, because they're watching you. Now, most of us, and I became a parent, I had a lot of preconceived notions. This is what I thought parenting would be like. This is what I want my kids to be like. And I projected the future of my kids on my kids, even at a young age. It's kind of like they were my second chance in a lot of ways. I would live through them, that they would be like me, but better, just a little bit smarter, a little bit more athletic. And all these things is what I thought my child was going to be like. And then they come out, grow up, completely different than me. But the things that make them different than me are things that I appreciate in them. My daughter is very artistic. I don't even care about art. But she is really into it, you know? My daughter here, she speaks French and Spanish. I'm just trying to get English down. It's just like, you know, there's things that are different, but that is something that God designed in them. And my practical lesson number one, first thing I want to talk about is this: raise the child you have, not the child you want. You have to raise the child you have. The Bible talks about it. There's a season for everything. You know what? There's a season in parenting. And this is what we have to remember. There's a season even in parenting. God has designed our kids to be a specific way. We sometimes try to design them the way we want them to be, not realizing God has already given them so many different talents and abilities that they need to live out. We can't live out ourselves. I see that with so many dads. It's because they didn't make it in college or pro football, but doggone it, they're going to live it out through their son, and that little boy is going to make it to the NFL. And so they invest so much into the kids' sports and leave out God. They invest so much in there, and then those are the same ones that's yelling at the refs. Those are the same ones that know everything and what to do and trying to pump it in their kid, and the kid don't even like sports. are used to, but don't because of how bad dad's been on. You know what? We've got to make sure we're investing in our kids, but not resting everything in them. My whole future is in my child. We've got to understand, again, the biggest thing about parenting is studying your kid so you know how to parent. But you got to study each kid individually. And that takes time, it takes effort, but you got to raise the child you have, not the child you want. You know, like I said, with our youngest daughter, she was born deaf. We felt bad for years because we didn't know she was deaf. If you think about it, when you talk to a young kid, you say, come here, come here. I mean, you make so many hand motions. She was just obeying what we told her without even hearing what we were saying. So then when we found out she was deaf, I mean, we felt bad. Like, we were bad parents. We were horrible. Why are they like this? You know, I was angry with God. Why would you give me a deaf child? I mean, I'm a minister. Why don't you do some politician or some crackhead out there? Why my child? I mean, I had anger issues with God because of my daughter being deaf. But then the thing about her that amazes me is that she has these cochlears we talk about. Well, she didn't wear them in the morning. And I'm like, Grace, why don't you wear your cochlears in the morning? And she's like, God made me deaf, and I want to wake up the way God made me every morning, and I'll put them back on later on. And I'm sitting there like, okay, I wouldn't have handled it that way. I'm like, wow. But that's the way God designed her. And I'm thinking, man, I wake up grumpy sometimes, just mad at the world. I can hear perfectly. But she wakes up happily without being able to hear a thing. And I just look at that and I think, you know what? God has that design for her. Now, I'm trying to shift her and raise her this way, be like this. But God is saying, no, this is what I want for her. And I think God's design is a whole lot better than mine. Yeah. But yet, I try to change the course of God's design so often. Your child may have special needs. Your child may be a little bit different in some way. But you got to realize those things that make them different or slower now may be the thing they need for greatness in the future. Child may not make the basketball team 3 years in a row. But you know what? That character has helped them become a great entrepreneur in the future. Your son has a speech impediment. But you know what? Maybe that hard work ethic that helped him, now he's able to lead an organization to help other kids with speech impediments. You don't know God's design for your child. So raise the child you have and not the one you want. And it is so important for us to realize that each of our kids are designed by God. And that's what we need to be grateful for.
Awesome. Share. One of the things I was going to share about this is that we have to really seek to know their hearts. Seek to really know your child's hearts. And what they're thinking, what's on their mind, because they are each different. And so we can so easily put them in a category. When I think about Lily, she, you know, strong-willed, stubborn. But you know what? The good thing about that, if you flip it over, she's a great leader. She's confident. She's sure of herself and her convictions. And so I was making my life difficult when she was little and younger, but to really see what God was producing in her and why God made her that way. He made her the way she is for a reason. With Grace, when she was born deaf, why is Grace deaf? You know, why, God, why would you do that? I don't understand. This is so hard. But the thing that about Grace is that she's such an overachiever. She's an overcomer. She's a hard worker. It's also made her very compassionate for other people. And, you know, this has helped me. She has a soft heart for God. And God used all those things. I mean, she's the most determined child I've ever met. Very determined. And she doesn't let those things stop her. But God used the things. We didn't see them in the beginning. We didn't see, where are you going with this, God? Why? But he has a purpose and a plan. And I had to really believe in God's promises. I think at one point I doubted God. Like, God, I thought you had my back with this. I thought you were just going to make everything perfect and everything was going to be great because I'm a disciple. And I was angry at God, because things weren't working out the way I wanted them to. But because of these hardships, it not only helped them to grow into who God wanted them to be, but it also helped me and Maurice be who God wanted us to be. It made us more compassionate also, and trust God a lot more. I had to work through that lack of faith and anger towards God, and trusting that he had a bigger picture that I couldn't see. And really, I always say those things, they made me who I am today. I don't think I would be who I am today or have the faith or the love for God. It was just transforming. So God's hardships can also be blessings for us.
And that's the thing, each child is a difference maker in the world. Mm-hmm. And we've got to let them be a difference maker in the world. Mm-hmm. We can't put them on there on the stream we think they need to be on. Yeah. Let them stay on God's stream. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, the world needs somebody that's a little wacky, a little different, a little crazy, a little sparky, a little fired up. The world needs a little bit of something to everything. And that's what, especially in New York. I mean, there's something like everything in New York. I didn't realize until I moved here. You know, you see it on TV. That's a whole lot different in real life. But that's what our children need to be. So we need to allow them to be who they are. That will help them be happier, and honestly, it'll help us be happier too. But the second thing I want to talk about is this. This is something I read, I can't remember when, I read it a while ago, but it's helped me to learn a lot about parenting. And these four words, this too shall pass.
Yes.
This too shall pass. No matter where you're at, what stage it is, this too shall pass. You may be in that cuddly stage where they just soft and they smell good and all that. It's going to pass. They may be in that toddler, that screaming, running everywhere. It's going to pass. They may be in that middle school trying to find who they really are. It's going to pass. They may be that teenage, stubborn, rebellious one. It's going to pass. Your baby may be going off to college somewhere and you crying, oh, my baby going to come back. Or you like, they leaving, I'm crying because I'm happy. This too will pass. Even when they get married and they come home to visit and just finally sit down and have a talk with you that you've been waiting to have for so long, that too is going to pass. It's all going to pass. The Bible says there's a season for everything. What season is your child in? This is what we've got to remember. Because one of the things we should not do is to try and reap when it's time to plant. Some people are trying to reap these rewards and have their kids be this way and that way. That's not the season your kid is in. Your season is in planting and watering season. That's what it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 through 9. What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you come to believe. And the Lord has assigned you the task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. You have to look at your child and decipher. That's why I say we got to study our kids. What season is my kid in? Is this the planting? Is this the watering? I can't make it grow. That's what God's going to do. But I have to just understand. If I'm in a planting season, you know what? When you plant something, your hands get dirty. You get a little rusty. I mean, it's just you got to shower every day. It's just hard work. You may be in that planting season. But you just got to accept it and realize where you're at. You may be in the watering season. You know what? You planted some good seed. Our kids used to fight and argue all the time. Yes, you did. And now they're up there having a quiet time together, praying together. Different seasons that they go through. Every once in a while, you wearing my dress. You wearing my shirt. You wearing this and that. And then next thing you know, they're doing each other's nails. It's different seasons that we go through with our kids. But we've got to understand and accept that. And that sometimes is the hardest part. Because we don't want to accept that. We want to be reaping. We want all the benefit. Because I see it in somebody else's kids, so my kids should be there. We start comparing our kids with other kids. Raise the child that you have. Don't try to raise it, because you don't know what that kid's like at home. They may look good outside, but then at home, they playing some heavy metal stuff. And all that stuff that could be happening. But it is important that we just focus on what season our child is in. Mm-hmm. You want to say about that? That was so good, you didn't understand about that. And then again, thirdly, don't compare your kids to other kids. Don't compare your kids to other kids. That is a very harmful thing to do. Because then you're instilling criticalness. You're becoming critical. You're help making them want to compare themselves. Our kids, to become a Christian is even harder. I can't tell you how many talks we had because they felt like they had to be Christians because we're in the ministry. They felt like we don't want to be pressured into being a Christian just because you're the preacher, Dad. You know, they had all these things. Why is everybody expecting me to be a perfect Christian now that I am a Christian? I mean, there's a lot of drama that goes through kids' minds. But it's so important that you have those conversations and don't compare them to other people's kids. My kids, it's not about, I'm not even striving to be an elder one day. I'm just trying to make it to date. I'm just trying to be a great, faithful Christian and lead my group the best I can. So this isn't an issue of them staying faithful so I can be an elder. That's not in my thing. If that's what God thinks about it, we'll figure that out way down the road. I'm too young for all that right now. Way down the road. But in order to do that, we got to ask ourselves, well, how do I plant? How do I water? Like I say, it starts at any age. So if you have a baby, one thing we used to do is just singing church songs to those kids. Then you think about it. Even if you didn't used to go to church, but you remember your mama singing in the kitchen, or your mom walking around the house singing them church songs. I mean, it was just, even though I didn't go to church, I was always hunting and fishing with my dad. My mom went to church, but when I come home, she in there singing them songs and nothing else. Those songs are stuck in my mind. You know what? Even as a baby, we can start singing those songs. They get a little older. We can read and pray with them. Don't just sing, add something to your repertoire. Read and pray with them. Well, they can't read. They can't, but just hearing your voice, just listening to you over and over, reading stuff. It's just your quiet time with them sitting next to you. And for them to see you, next thing you know, they're just going to open a book and they're going to be pretending like they're reading. But see, you're training them how to do these very things. Then they get to middle school. You sing with them still, read, pray. And that's when you help them prepare, have those conversations beforehand. Whenever we have somebody over for hospitality or a study or whatever it may be, we have the kids involved. Help us set up, help us clean up. You know, you set the table. When they come, you ask them, do they need anything to drink? You ask them, we teach our kids how to be hospitable beforehand. And again, we did that for so long, and we never see any results for that until this year, actually. Wait, come on. We came home, you know, when we told you that person got killed at her school, and we come home, and our daughter had a friend at home studying the Bible. She said, well, I'm going to fix snacks for you. And I'm going to, I mean, she's setting everything up, snacks, having a Bible candle. Study, praying together. Yeah, and I'm like, when did she learn to do all that? And it just finally clicked. We've been training that for 16 years, and you just now saw. It may not happen instantly, but it'll happen eventually. You just got to keep persevering. Then when they get to be teenagers, not only do we sing with them and quiet time and prep things, but we have character studies that we do with our kids. I don't know if you guys had that yet, but it was coming down the pipeline. But different character studies. We teach them. And the way we do it, like we do a character study a week, and then we'll have their mentor, the team work or whatever, do a character study with them. But we study on things like humility, purity, pride, faith. I mean, just different things in the character. Now, we develop these studies for teens, but I do them with adults because there's some adults that need to change their character in a lot of ways as well. See, I didn't get a lot of amens. That tells you something over here. But I'm going to move on with that one. But we do character studies because there's things in our teens that we got to help them grow in their character, like respect. I mean, it goes on and on. And then even when they're adults, we got to keep going. So, practically speaking, I want to even have the kids have a little time to kind of share some things here. What we did in raising our kids, and again, it's different seasons, and you may not sow or reap everything when you want, but it's according to God. First, we have family devotionals. And I'm not sure if you guys have family devotionals, but that's something we need to do, if you can, weekly, if not every other week. Why don't you guys share about our family devotional, kind of describe what it is, and even talk about, either one of y'all, come on. She says God made her deaf, and we pray that she can talk. And now we got to suffer, and she never stops talking. Family Devo. All
right, so Family Devo was, like, my favorite part. I remember, like, we did a skit on, like, Lazarus. So, like, I was Jesus. Billy was Lazarus. And I don't know who y'all were.
As long as you were Jesus, huh? That's all that matters.
And like how like he rolled it from the dead, and that was like the greatest thing ever. And we just get like that. I remember we did Lazarus, and we just really had like every like Devo we had, someone did a lesson. I did a lesson, Lily did a lesson, Mom and Dad did a lesson. It was really fun. I remember this one lesson we watched, like, you know that TV show, like 2015, they had like the Bible show. Yeah, we watched one of that. That was really cool. Yeah. And so I think things like that, you like take every story and you take it deeper. You did skits, and it was really fun. And especially as a kid, it was really fun.
So. What about the skit, the Lazarus skit?
Oh. So we did skit at home, and then my dad's like, how about we do it at church? So we did it at church. And so I had like this little robe on, and like Lily was in the closet with like toilet paper around her.
She was Lazarus.
She was Lazarus. And then so like, I said, Lazarus, rise, come out. I think that's what she said, but.
She busted out the closet.
Yeah. And then so she came out, and then she was like celebrating, thank you, Jesus. So that was really fun. And like my friend, she'll text me, hey, remember the time you did the Lazarus skit? I'll be like, oh yeah, that was hilarious.
That's good. This will be all night. Okay? But in our family devotions, we just try to make them all memorable. You know, when you wrap somebody up with toilet paper and they come out like a mummy, that's memorable. And that's because that's when Lazarus, you know, take it off. And so that's how you make those stories come alive, that the whole family's now involved. So we'll do things like that. Then afterwards, we'll just play a game, a Pictionary game, or just something that's fun. Apples to apples, we used to play. Yeah, y'all cheated, right? So I think family devotionals are important. And sometimes you feel like, I got so much going on, I can't do that. That's why we had other people do it. So I didn't plan all of them. We let Lily teach a family devotional, or Grace teach a family devotional. You come home from school, do your homework, you prepare a family devotional. And so it wasn't just about us doing it. We let everybody in the family take responsibility. And this is before they were disciples. But that helped them start wanting to learn to study. Let me look at it deeper than just, you know, Jonah was in the whale. Well, what are we going to do about that? You know, so it just really helped family devotionals. You know what I'm saying? Another thing we did is just our family dinners. Now, when we have our family dinners, I referred to it earlier, but that's a great time to build family. Any of y'all want to share anything about family?
Oh, yeah. We got a mic. I feel fancy. But I like family dinners. One, I like food. Because everyone likes food, so everyone's going to want to come. That's the perfect time to get everyone in the house, because we're all, like, your children, they have homework, they have friends, they don't want to sometimes be bothered, but it's like, hey, I have food. Well, calm down. And that's the perfect time, and everyone's just like, who's upset when they eat? And I like them because it's just casual, like casual little talks could just turn into like great just family moments. Like there are times where you just don't even eat because you're just cracking up laughing and crying, like, and it just brings you together. And sometimes you have really long prayers. But it just shows, like, just that. There's a point with this, I promise. Like, it just shows, like, the heart. Like, and I like it because sometimes, like, I'm a moody person. Sometimes I just don't want to be bothered. But that'll be like, how was school today? No, it's mom. How was school today? And you're just, like, fine. But you're stuck with them as you eat. So you have to talk with them. And over time, it's just like, it feels weird when you don't. Like, if we don't have family dinners, if I'm downstairs eating, like, I'm comfortable, I'm on the couch, I'm like, this is weird. Like, I'm not talking anymore. So I like them. I feel like they're very beneficial. And then when, like, friends come over and we eat all together, like, y'all eat together. Yeah. Y'all eat together. Like, it kind of is an example for them, too. They can see, like, this is what a good, not a good family, not perfect, but like of what a family can be like, what like a goal for them to have.
Family time, that's where we do a lot of discipling without calling it discipling.
Yes.
That's where we'll go around and say, okay, we'll name, you got to pick one person and say one thing you like about that person. And we can't pick the same person. So that way everybody gets to share about somebody different. And so that's what we do. Sometimes we'll say, name one person and one thing they need to change for that week. And that's all we focus on, is that one thing, whatever they say. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like to do that because they don't want their kids telling them, this is what we need to change as parents. But you got to do that. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to be telling them what they need to change for 18 years, they need to be able to say something for us, well, we need to change as well. And so we have a time of encouragement or a time of challenge or just something we're thankful for in each other. But those times, really, once you start doing that, then everybody wants to be there. Who doesn't want to be encouraged? You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't want to eat and have something good said about them?
Yeah.
So it makes everybody want to be involved. So even when they were little kids, though, I mean, we'd sit around and we'd just have dinner and then we'd play games. But things like that, that's what we make the memories with. But that calls for the parents to be on board on the same thing. And if mom is cooking, then I feel like if she cooked, then it's only right for me to clean up, to wash the dishes. And so now I'm in there washing dishes, and it's like, okay, even when friends come over, why is your daddy washing dishes? Well, you know what? That's one of the things that helped me become a Christian. When I was a converted, I was in college. I was a starting running back. I had a car, had a girlfriend, had money. I'm like, oh, y'all ain't got half the stuff I got talking to the Christians. Like, why I want to be like you? And then I went to the campus leader's house. And we're sitting there, and his wife brought him a glass of water, and she made dinner for us. I'm like, whoa, this is weird. You know, women do that? You know, not in my house when I grew up. They're like, what's wrong with you? You better get up and get something. You know? And I'm like, see, that right there is what I wish I had, but I could never get in the world. And so seeing that family was what converted me, because just those guys would not have worked. I had too much pride in me. But we take for granted sometimes some of the blessings we have in the kingdom and how they can really impact a lot of kids. Then the girl that Gracie studied with on her own from school, now we connected with the family, we're gonna have a dinner with the family. Now the whole family can become Christians through her having a sit down Bible study with one girl. Families make a difference.
Yeah.
And so your dinner times are times to help with a lot of questions we talked about. Dinner time is your solution for a lot of those things. Or Saturday lunchtime or whatever it may be, but you can focus it. That's why Jesus ate so many times with people.
Yeah.
You sit around, he had food conversations and dealt with a lot of stuff. Here, demon, get out. Here, go. You know what I mean? That's what you need to do. So that's a very, very critical time for us in the growth of our kids.
Yeah.
That's when we hear a lot of what's going on. I think somebody asked that, I can't remember who, but they don't like to talk a lot, but then when they start eating and they get a little happy with the food, they start opening up a little bit more about what's going on.
I was gonna share something. I think the environment that you set in your home is important too. He's just using dinner as an example, but making sure your home and your family is a peaceful place, a spiritual place. And I know we're busy, we can get frustrated, annoyed. That's where we have to be godly and be like Jesus in our home with our kids. And just making those memories, making that a memorable time and vacations. I love to hear our kids reminisce about, remember when we did this? Or you remember this, mom and dad? And we went here and we took this trip. It makes me, it just warms my heart. Like, they remember that? Or they really enjoyed that? I didn't know that it impacted them so much. So I think that is just really important. I think that's something that we are still trying to do as they get older and older and they're becoming adults. Soon, you know, they may be married, but we still want to do that because I think the involvement never stops, even as our kids move out of the home. We're still a family.
So speaking of memories, what's in your box? My daughter brought this box for some reason. I don't even know what's in the box, so to be honest with y'all. So is it something appropriate we're going to be bringing out? No. What's in the box? Let's see what's in the box real quick here. Because we're wrapping stuff up here on our part. But she is the...
So I was playing in my room, I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I went to a Christian school from second to fourth grade, then went to public school, then I went back to eighth grade. And so I remember second grade, I made this thing. I don't know why, but we did. But it says parent down the list, and then for P, I wrote, provide for their children, and then A, appreciate and love their children. R is P,
reprove.
Preserve.
Reprove.
Reprove, discipline. And E is encourage your children, and is never
aggressive
or discourage their children. T is for teach and train their children, and S is set a godly example for their children. And I looked at it, I was like, wow, this is exactly what my parents did, you know. And like, I will do that when I'm a mom, like long way to go. But yeah, I just really looked at it, I was like, wow, this is cool. And then
and we ain't gonna look at everything.
Okay.
Show them the cam stuff.
It's a deep box.
Your cam stuff, that's what you're gonna share.
And then I was just really looking through this, and it's all my cam stuff and memories, and like camp really helped me become a Christian, because like every year something was amazing. And my dad did camp for 21 years back in Kansas. And so the last one he did was just amazing. Like, that helped me really see everything. And so I have, like, all a bunch of these memories. This is from this year in New York, and it was really fun. And, like, on the back we wrote all the things they really encouraged about me. So it was really awesome. And then I have, like, one from, like, second grade. I'm like, oh, my gosh, look how young I was. You know, it just, and then I had like all these letters that my mom and dad wrote to me. We had this mail thing because like we were gone for like a week. Some parents wrote letters, you know. I mean, I knew my parents were there, and so, but it's really, yeah. But it's really encouraging how they still wrote to me every single day.
All right, one more thing.
Okay.
No, you want one more thing out of that? All right.
Remember you were sharing about the songs, how important.
Oh yeah, and so I remember at day camp, we wrote like these really cool songs, and me and my family love worshiping because they have this really cool video. Kids sing amazing. I was like, they sing really good. And then so I remember the song, it's like God's watching over you. So I still remember the song. I'm like, I know God's watching me 24/7, you know, because the lyrics like, God's watching over you 24/7. Yeah. And it was really cool, so I remember that. And I was like, this is so cool, like worshiping was like awesome. We did little motions, we played Minute to Win It, and like we had Survivor Game was awesome, we had different teams. I remember I was on a great team, we were the Great Bible Ninja. So that was really fun, so I really enjoyed camp, it really helped me see. And so, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, she came up with that on her own, and she wanted to share because we were just talking, and she just started talking about all her memories and all the things that helped her over the years to love God and respect God and to want to obey God. So it's really important, even when they're little, that they remember these things and that this stays in their heart. So just continue to do that. You might think sometimes, are they even hearing me? Does this mean anything? But it really does.
Yeah.
So that concludes our second part of everything. Again, it comes down to the together, doing it together. Also remember what season your child is in. That's so important. And then lastly, raise your child. Don't try to raise the child you want to have. Wherever your child is, whatever they're doing, that's what you need to pay attention to. So thank you again for that. I know we're going to have time for questions and answers. So that's our second class here.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.